So very happy to meet you on this screen. Linda called me and asked if I, you know, could share something with you. And there was a topic in my mind that I had been thinking about a couple of days, because Teresa is one of my very oldest and very dearest friends. And we had been talking on the phone, and she had told me that after a Zoom with Linda, her very bad cough, or maybe you can tell them yourself what happened to you, Teresa, because you have the right words. Just tell us, because I would like to take this example and then go with you through a couple of touches and exercises to work on this part of our body, on the neck, on the vagus nerve. I think that's very important to sometimes think about this connection or this really, there's so many things coming together. And maybe, you know, I'm a T-Touch instructor. I'm working with companion animals and with people, and I'm also a sound and color therapist. So I mix all those things, and I thought maybe it might be interesting for you to, you know, to talk about some of those things. So please, Teresa, will you tell me what you told me?
I try to remember how I told you, but anyway, the result was really amazing, because last Tuesday, we were actually working also on this part, and I had to close, I had to mute because I had a terrible cough due to COVID, and he wanted to be longer with me, which I did disagree. So anyway, Linda told me, and actually I always have quite here covered, but she told me with our with this part of the hand, with the fingers, to do not like this, but this way, to do touches. And I did it for about 15 minutes while she was continuing showing, and we were talking, and I didn't talk, I just did this touch for both sides, the whole part. And then suddenly I said, wow, where's the cough gone? And it is really from that moment on, I still have some little signs, but it was gone. I had medicine to take, you know, with the codeine and so, because I really, my lungs came almost over the ears. And the situation really changed from that moment on. And I would say something else from Sunday night. We were on a reception. Finally, we could go out, my husband and myself. And a cough attack came over. And I said, oh my gosh, I have nothing to take, you know, a small sugar, whatever. And I did again the touch while they were talking and gone. And as I visit a Zoom with Lisa about the vagus nerve, I know now it is so important what we can do here. And I'm just happy I can talk.
Yes. So I think what happens very often, we work on our ears, right? We know, I mean, most of you have know the vagus nerve, right? Lots of you, do you? Yes, it's a parasympathetic nervous system. Huh? It is the rest and digest part of us. And I must tell you, when I start this Zoom with many people without knowing them, I'm always between the parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system. So I can feel what happens to me is that my throat gets really tight, right? It's the same as when we are in a concert or when we are supposed to be not, you know, to be still, not making noise. It's then when we have to cough, right? It's exactly because we get so tight here. So when we know that the vagus nerve has connections to the ears, the inner ear, to the eyes, to the tongue, and all of the backside of the tongue, the throat, and this part here is full of really, this is very important. This is like a center where we can strengthen the way the vagus nerve. So I was thinking what I could show you, and maybe you can try out and tell me what you think, or maybe you have stuff that you can share. I was thinking, as a sound therapist, I always tell people to hum when they work on their animals on, or when they work on themselves. And they very often tell me, oh, my dog didn't like it when I was humming for him. It's because humming helps you with your tension, with your vagus nerve, with your parasympathetic. Humming will help you to really focus, to better focus, and it will lower your blood pressure. It's 5 minutes of humming. I have a little scale here, a little list with what it does. Let me show you so I don't forget. It really helps with a hypertonia. It helps, it will increase the oxygen in the cells. The lymph circulation will be better. It will help with melatonin, which means we should hum before we go to bed. It will lower the cortisol and also the glucose hormones, which are stress hormones. And it will also help to increase oxytocin and nitric oxide. I hope I did pronounce those words well, because English is not my mother tongue, so sometimes I must mispronounce words. So when we hum while we are working with maybe chimpanzee touches, we can try chimpanzee touches. It's good to put your elbow in your second hand and then just very gently. And the vagus nerve runs along the carotids. So if we just go along the carotids, you will feel how it feels. Also, this part of the chin, when we work with, when I work with the goats, I work very much on this part of the, it makes them really, really, really decompress, and it helps them to accept touches all over the body. So when we, and then what you do at the same time, you inhale through your nose. And you exhale, humming with M like Marcus, because that's the most normal mouth position. We don't have to use many muscles on our lips, and our tongue can just be natural. Or just breathe in through your nose and then hum and feel where the vibration, when you feel the vibration in your head, maybe you feel it in your sinuses, maybe you feel it in your ears. It depends on just feel the vibration and be aware where it does. And if you then do those chimpanzees, if you start yawning, that's wonderful. If you yawn, yawning is a sign of really relaxation, and your jaw will then relax, which enhances the vagal tone. How does that feel? Tell me. Diane, please.
Nice. That it's I feel more aware, I feel more expanded inside my throat area.
Exactly. Because within your throat and your tongue also. I sometimes do even do take my throat and my tongue and I go, I move my tongue. And of course I take the little brush to brush it in the morning and in the evening. And I've read somewhere when we do, when we use an electric toothbrush, I make little 1¼ circles all around my mouth on my lips, because that really helps to relax too. And it's good for the lips too. Less wrinkles, apparently. I don't know if this is true, but it's very good for your lips anyway. And it helps to increase the vagal tone. And the better aware this area gets and the more relaxed this area becomes, the more relaxed you can use your voice, you can use your voice when you talk. I mean, when we talk, usually, who knows himself, when you are stressed, your voice gets really like this. My voice gets like this. Ooh. So this is also because the sympathetic nervous system takes over. So if we then just do a couple of even lying leopards, and what I do sometimes, and I thought, how can I make this fun? Because Linda told me, this should be fun. So I thought, how can I make it fun? So look at this. I have this. This is from some goats that I know, the person who owns the goat. She does do this mohair. And you know, turquoise, the color is wonderful. It's a mixture of green and blue, and green is just in the middle of all the colors. Green is really harmonizing. That's its quality. And blue is calming, soothing. So if we do that with green, and if we have that in our mind, you know, green, and I think of the water of the Mediterranean Sea, And I use this green color, or I imagine if I don't have them, I can imagine any color I want. But turquoise is super for a tight throat. And what you can do if you are interested in combining tea touch with color, you can try different, you know, colors. I also have those. Orange. Oh, you have beautiful ones with pink flowers. What's it? What are those, Anna? Oh, la, la. Beautiful. You should use the pink. You should use the pink on your throat. And the green, of course, both. And see if you can feel a difference. Can you feel a difference between green or pink? Yes. Can you tell us? She left. Oh, of course, it works also for the doggies. What a beautiful doggy. So when we feel stressed, and I remember when I was a child, when I had angina, I was always allowed to eat ice cream. You too? So ice cream, I mean, when you think about it, ice cream licking is strengthening the vagal tone. Licking is a very, this movement of licking calms us down. And then the cold is helping a lot with when there is inflammation. Maybe the sugar wasn't so great, but now we can make our own ice cream without sugar. So an ice cream a day keeps angina away, maybe, hopefully.
Lisa, yes. I have a couple of quick things. One, I can't inhale and hum at the same time.
You inhale first through your throat.
Then exhale. I misunderstood.
You have to inhale first, and then you can...
Then I can hum. That's no problem. I couldn't do it on the inhale.
I can't do it on the inhale either.
Okay. Second, do you have a source for the color information that you would recommend?
There are many color systems. There is a different sources. There is one source. I will send that to Kirsten, and she can then forward it to you. I think I wrote an article about color and tea touch, which we have translated into English. So I can send that to Kirsten, and she can give it handed over.
Do you have it there? You could put it in the chat for us.
I don't have it on my desk.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So all right. If you want, I can. But
maybe everybody who wants it can put their email addresses in the chat, and then I send it later tonight whenever I get it.
We could also put it on that Facebook page too for the group. No.
Yes.
What I love about putting email addresses in is that then it's super easy to send those links to everyone, and they have them. They don't have to copy them. So if everybody would put their email addresses in the chat, that'd be really helpful.
I mean, I can I know I sent it to somebody.
Because when I do mine, I'm going to give some links too. So that would be really handy for Marnie to be able to send it to an email list. Or Kirsten.
Sounds good. I can send both together.
Well, good. Let's see. Well, I will have to look for it. I don't have it. I have so many things here. I have to first. I have to first find it.
Lisa, no hurry. We can do that after.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So that was one thing I wanted to show you. And I could tell from the faces that I saw some of you, the eyes got a little, you know, got a little bit more relaxed. And I think that working or humming really helps. It's something that's very, very easy to use. And what I sometimes do when I, you know, when I am in pain, this happens sometimes, and I do tea touch, and I know my overall goal is remember your
potential.
Exactly, potential for perfect functioning. But when I am in pain, I sometimes it's not present, because the pain always gets in between, because it's a little bit abstract. I'm a very simple person, I find, finally. And what I then do, I think of what I would like, how I would like to feel at that moment, which means I then think of this part of the body that I'm touching. I think of it as be calm or be peaceful. And then I start singing or humming with that word in my mind. Very often I just sing to this part of the body that I am working with. And I'm singing to it how I would like it to be. Always with this overall goal of remembering the potential for perfect functioning, but with a very concrete goal for that moment. And I find that a lot of my clients who work with dogs, they do that too now, because they have been doing it a little bit, you know, they have always been thinking about it, but very often for them, what comes to their minds is the pain the animal is in, or the bad past that the animal had, or the trauma or whatever. So if they focus on what they would like to see, and they say what they would like to see, oh, I see you. You are so beautiful. You are totally relaxed, and you like when I touch you. And then this really gets through the touch, gets into the cellular memory, and that's what happens then. I once had this experience with a person. She had a German Shepherd. I mean, the German Shepherd, he was all over the place. She could hardly handle him in a room with other dogs. It was really dramatic. And I told them, when you work with the dogs, maybe you want to hum, maybe you want to just be aware of your breathing, or maybe you want just to tell him a nice story. So all of a sudden, I would not, I was not aware anymore of the person. She had disappeared. So she had disappeared into a corner of the room behind some furniture. And she was there with the dog, and she was telling him the life they would have together starting from that moment. And the dog was totally, totally okay and relaxed, and so was she. So for me, that was an incident that made me aware of how we combine all of these things to be more efficient and to make things easier. So since then, it's been maybe 15 years from now, I have always been working on that and observing how people act. Maybe that is something that if you want, you can try too. Maybe somebody does it already. Do we have any experience with that?
Do you mean with humming or?
Well, with humming or with verbalizing, telling, singing.
Yes.
Like to see.
Yes. I do that quite a bit, and I'm going to add humming to it now. But I always, in my mind's eye, I see words that are like a prescription. They're positive, and how I feel like the animal wants to feel. And it just works so beautifully. But humming, I do that at home a lot, but with the cats here, but I will do that even more now. I like that. And I've been yawning ever since I started, and I've been trying to hide it, but it's working. It's working.
You yawn, the better. There is also this part here. I will show you my back, and you will tell me if you can see, or if you don't, please let me know. Can you see my neck?
Yes.
So there is this part here, the occiput, where the base of the skull, right? When you work this part, I usually do it with clouded leopards, from the middle of the skull, and I do it all the way until I get to my ears. And what you can see, I have been yawning twice while I was doing that. In the morning, very often when I wake up, I have some pressure in my head, neck area, and this does really, it will affect
your jaw.
Exactly, your jaw, your inner ear, and it will affect your atlas. It's like you're working with your fascia, and when you work on this part, you will also help the liquid, the cerebrospinal fluid, to more easily circulate. And it's very, very little. I mean, it takes like 2 minutes. And when we are like now watching a screen for a long time, and the head is very often for some minutes in the same position, doing that just from time to time really helps to to keep this part, how do you say, subtle, or yes, so it doesn't get all tight. And I do one side first, and then I do the other side, and always from the middle to the towards the ear. And then I can also go around the ear, that of course here there is also a ganglion. Exactly. And then we are again on the neck. And of course, it's beautiful if you have somebody who does it for you. Then you don't have to lift your... And what I sometimes do, I sometimes take Bambi. Please meet Bambi. Isn't she cute? I found her very beautiful. She is stuffed with lavender. She smells really nice and she's very soft. So I take her and with her paws, and I put my head and then I do this. It gives me the feeling that I am a child again. And it makes me really happy when I do that. And I smile, and when I do that, it's self-healing, isn't it? Being happy and being a child and, you know, finding this. And I think she's so cute, so I show her to everyone.
It's kind of like hug, T-touch. Mm-hmm. T-touch with a hug, kind of nice.
Exactly.
And Lisa Valentina has her hand raised.
Yes, please. Valentina.
Oh. Can you hear me now?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
You are Valentina with the beautiful flowers.
Oh, thank you. And it has, I don't know if you can see it, it has little horns too.
Yes, wonderful.
It's my forest spirit crown from Walmart. So
beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Very, very first class. I wanted to say something about color. I don't have an exact source, but years ago, I remember I took a course in, these people were combining color with acupuncture.
Yes.
They called it chromopuncture or color puncture. And you could buy a series of little like laser pens or something like that in the different colors. And they had a whole lexicon of what color you put on what point and little recipes, and it really worked.
Yes, of course. With light, even when we work with sound, with tuning forks, I work a lot with tuning forks on acupuncture points. And then I always use color, the color that goes with it to sort of, in German, we say to anchor it, you know, to really make the, you have the vibration, and then with the color, you just make it last. It's very interesting. There is acupuncture with colored light. There is acupuncture as I do it, where we don't use needles, but different tuning forks. And there is also color light therapy. And very often, it's enough if you have a, like, if that you imagine the color that you would like to give, or you can do your shawls, you can use a scarf, or you can use colored wraps, or there is many possibilities. I even have a light here, but the problem is with that, with Zoom, you don't see the light. See, now we can see it's red, but you don't. You only see the hello that is colored. You don't see the light. So there is also with the flower of life that you can put on top of it. When I sent the article, there is all these references are there.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yes.
Do you, Lisa, do you use the color that is the frequency of the note of the tuning fork, the musical note?
No, because it would be eine Potenzierung of the
an
the
octave. An octave?
Because the light frequencies are much higher than the sound frequencies. Because when frequencies go down, then you have sound, right?
But I have heard of colors equated to or allied with musical notes. Like, yes. I think D was yellow or something like that.
Yes, that depends on the system. The system I have been studying with Tamado Academy. I can write that down if you want. This I know by heart, so it's not difficult. They are in California.com. Voilà. This is based on Chinese medicine, which means they use the colors that are linked to the different acupuncture points. And then what the Fabien Mama, who developed Tamado, he was a world famous musician. What he did, he is using the musical, the science of mathematics to get the notes, and depending on what you use, it depends. You can use different systems. If you use the chakras, you have frequencies in sound for the chakras, and you have colors that go with it. But when you use the Chinese system, they can be different depending on the system that you use. See, that's why I believe when you start using those things, it's very important to experience it, which means become the color, experience the color, then you know how to use it. You know what I mean? Otherwise you get your head blah, 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 and you don't use it because it's so complicated, I find. I mean, I like things that I can take with me wherever I go, and that I can give to my clients or my students, and then they can start working and just use it. So there are different systems. There is one who was initially from India, and he has been living in the US.
Dr. Dinsha.
Yes.
Dinsha Gadiali.
I like Dinsha very much. I think his system really makes sense. But the system with the Chinese medicine also makes sense. It's just different, you know, and both of them work. You just need to find out. And in the meantime, you can just, as you do with your wonderful green, you know, that you're using with the color green on your head.
I find when you study different vocabularies, like Dr. Dinsha versus the color puncture, first of all, there's and chakra color relationships. First of all, there always seem to be some points where they all overlap. where every culture, especially the ancient cultures, have found doors into the body, into the spirit, that they all found the same doors because the doors are the same. Yes. So they overlap, but also that each one you acquire when you use it, it's another tool for the toolbox. You don't say you have a toolbox if you just have a hammer. You know, you have a screwdriver and you have a pliers, and different needs call for a different tool. And sometimes you try something that works on one person and it doesn't work. So you go, yeah, but I have this other tool and I can use that. So it's a lot of fun to play with all of them.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's why I've been studying all my life. But now many people, they just need somebody that they can do by themselves right now, now. And I think the most beautiful, the most sophisticated tool that we have is our body and our mind. And with that, we can do really, really great stuff, right? Yes. Yes.
Becky has her hand up.
Please. Thank you.
So I just want to back up to you using your little animal, which I absolutely loved. Where did you get her? Your little fawn.
Switzerland.
She's just gorgeous. But I wanted to talk for just a second about that, because I remember when I first started doing this stuff and watching Linda's relationship with the animals, the stuffies, I thought, oh, that's ridiculous. But I had to go back and think about it. I'm going to tell you a quick little story. I'm a psychotherapist by trade, one of my things. And when my child was in preschool, so he would have been 3 years old at the time, they were doing a parent thing of what do your parents do? And so my office happened to be across the alley from the daycare. So all the little kids came over and got into my office, and there were stuffed animals all the way around my room. And the kids were all really fascinated with them. And at one point, one of the kids lifted his hand and he said, "So who are the animals for? Is that for kids who come to see you?" And I, without thinking, I said, "You know, that's for the adults. I don't see children. I only see adults." What was fascinating was watching the entire room relax, because yeah. At 3 years old is right about the age where you're getting a struggle about having to give up stuffed animals. And the idea for them that you could keep animals into adulthood and be okay with the stuffies had a physical reaction for them. And then I guess I would say that, you know, watching clients come into my office and choose animals to sit with them across their hour, when we would do groups every once in a while, I would have two adults head for the same stuffed animal. And they would just look shocked and say, but that's my animal. So it was really fascinating to me to get a sense of there is something profound about that relationship. So I love those of you who are holding up your stuffies. But for those of you who think it's stupid, rethink that.
I have been working in a home for, you know, people, old people and people with dementia and people at the end of their lives. And very often they have, again, the guardian animals, the stuffies. They are with them every night. You have to tell them good night and put them next to their pillow, you know, and they really help them to get through the night, because sometimes they are afraid or they are. And that's very interesting, I find. I love that very much. And let me show you, just one sec, please.
I may just say in the meantime, when you can't touch a person or an animal, this can help.
Oh, yes.
So it is sometimes too strong, the touch. And this is my assistant, Chimpy.
Oh, look, the little bear. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. See, I would like, if you don't mind, if you have the time, I would like to meet you to meet Berta Frida. It's after my grandmother. And Berta Frida, she is from Ghana, handmade in Ghana. And in the beginning of 2000, I went to schools teaching animal ethics. And Berta Frida, she was in the cage of my canary, you know, the bird, canary bird. When I was a child, I had this bird. And the it was just because we know that chicken, they that's the space they have when they live in batteries, A4, right? So it was just the right ratio for to show the children how much, you know. And then they could free Berta Frida, take her out of the cage. And I told them a very beautiful story, and they could keep her while we were discussing. And they were children between 6 and 9 years. And I, when I was a child, I had so many living animals. I never had a stuffed animal because, and I didn't know, you know, Berta was a tool. Berta Frida was a tool. I was very mental, and she and the cage, they were not in my apartment when we were not working, because I had not much room. So the children, when they came to say goodbye, you know, after the class, they said goodbye to my dog, Golfi. They said goodbye to Lisa, and they said goodbye to Berta Frida. And that's how I learned that every being only has the life that you give it. And that was one of the most important lessons that I learned in my life. Everything has just the life you accord it, you give it. And since then, Berta Frida has a special, very special, beautiful, she is now retired because some doggy hurt her beak and I had to do some surgery, and now she's retired. But she is just looking at me when I'm in my bed, and she has a friend, a sheep that she likes very much. So we're kind of a happy family.
Say her name again one more time, Lisa, because I'm writing this down. It's so great. Did you say Berta Frida?
Berta Frida, yes.
Would you say the line again of everybody has life?
Well, every being.
Everything.
Yes, every being has just the life that you accord it or that you give. You give it.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't know if it's the right expressions in English, but.
I'm going to tack on to that. I put everything because, you know, the psychotherapist in me is thinking you can even use that in the context of things you're thinking about or, you know, that everything.
Absolutely.
I also love the word afford even better than give, because that talks about you in a way. There's a gifting of that that's, I don't know, there's something about that word that's special.
Okay.
Thank you.
Might just be my bad English.
Can you write it in the chat, Becky?
Yes, I'm happy to do that.
So I would if, you know, we're almost at the end of my hour and then the teacher will change, but would you be interested in one last exercise for this part? Because, see, what I learned was that my atlas, he always displaced, or was always displaced, right? And this is, gives you a very bad feeling. But we know that even thinking of something unpleasant or something stressful can displace the atlas, because it will then make, put some pressure on the vessels in the spine, which will inhibit a little bit the oxygen or the circulation from and to the brain. Because when we go on survival mode, we don't need to think so much, we just need to react, right? So it keeps us from thinking too much, but in for us, for our life, it's not really, really, really cool. So if the atlas gets this habitude of display, of being displaced or of displacing itself, there is a very simple technique which helps us to put it back into where it's supposed to be, if it's not severely misplaced. I mean, I'm talking about a healthy neck and not a neck with tons of arthritis, huh? This needs special treatment. But what we can do, we can combine some breathing, and we also know that putting our chin toward our chest, this helps to enhance vagal tone. So if we, what we can do is we can, I will show you, inhale up to four, one, two, three, four, to the nose. Then put our chin down and the head in the back, you know, like this, chuck and chuck. Stay like this for four. Then go up again, and I do it with exhale with humming, and the exhale would be longer than the inhale, of course, because a long exhale helps us to calm down. Would you like to try that? Shall I talk you through it? Did you see the movement? There is this movement. I always think I am one of those birds who do this. I put, take my head back, and then I put my chin down. It gives a little bit makes this part feel a little tight. And then I go up again, so my head goes back, and then I exhale. Let's try. We breathe in. Four. Then we keep our breath, the head back, the chin down. We keep it till four, three, four. Then we relax again and we breathe out. And maybe you feel a little, I always feel some in my spine when I do it, because everything is getting in the right place again. Let's try that again. One more time. We inhale, four. Put our head back, the chin towards the chest. We stay like that, counting to four. Then we relax and breathe out through our mouth or through humming. If you do that like five times in a row, you will get rid of all this tension that you have here. And your mind will be much clearer. It will help you thinking.
Diane asked in the chat the doctor name of the doctor that you and Valentina mentioned.
Oh, for the light.
Is that right? I'm not sure what you're...
Yes, Valentina. Dinsha
Dadiali.
Exactly. It's in the paper. So if you will read my article, you will see you will have the references.
And am I confused? Is he connected to the Tama Do, or is that different system?
Dinsha is Indian.
Okay.
Tama Do, he is Chinese medicine.
Thank you.
So it is 2 minutes to nine. And I I will be handing over to
us. We'll be back in 10 minutes.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, you do.
Yeah. We'll take a break and get some water and et cetera. And we'll be back at 10 after. Let's just do 10 after.
Okay.
Lisa. Danke schön.
Yeah. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you
so much.
I will stay for a little while. I might get really tired, so then I will maybe disappear. But if it's okay with you, I would love to, if I may stay a little while with you, would that be okay for you?
Yes.
What a question.
Thank you for everything.
Valentina, is this already for Invoke?
I just wanted to mention to you, when we're working right into our throat and up, I had a slight sore throat and I really began to get right up, just like you were describing, right up in here. And eventually I couldn't believe I didn't have a sore throat anymore. It was incredible. So again, I appreciate everything you're talking about, the vagus, the parasympathetic nervous system. Really wonderful. Thank you.
You're most welcome.
Colors. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for letting me share.
Okay, we'll be back in 10 minutes. So I'm going to turn off the recording here, I think.